It's time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Kanz, you'll be glad to know today I'm not going to say start talking for a minute. I've got to leave the studio, so you're good.
Good. I was thinking about that yesterday and realizing that if I had been given a topic, it may have been easier, but all of a sudden I was like, "What? I don't know about anything." So
you know about a lot of things.
I do, but I'm, in the moment, it felt very much like I didn't know a thing about anything.
Well, for into our fourth year now, you never know what to expect from me, and I had to let you, I had to reaffirm that for you.
Thank you. Yeah, that was nice.
In the new year. All right, so let's see. A lot of content we want to get to today. I sent you a Chuck DeGroat quote the other day. He wrote the book on wholeheartedness that really kind of set you in a different and what you would contend a better direction, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, I think the wholeheartedness kind of dealing with busyness and exhaustion, and trying to get back to that heart of wholeheartedness.
And you come out of a period where you were incredibly busy. I mean, you were doing you know, your regular neuropsychology work, and you weren't doing a 5 minute radio show at that time. But still,
The 5 minute radio show is a piece of cake compared to what I was doing. So I was spread way too thin.
All right, so I don't know. And then I want to get to the Philippians 1:27 again too. So we got a lot on our plate. It's a very packed sandwich. Here we go. First off, here's what Chuck wrote. He said, I know myself so well, someone says, perhaps after some personality testing in college or an Enneagram intro. And yet, Chuck says, as I begin teaching a course this week called The Christian Interior Life, I believe the deficit of real self-knowledge is so significant that we end up mostly living out of projections and idealizations which mask our deepest selves. He goes on to say this might even be an epidemic that keeps us lonely and hidden from God, from others, even from ourselves. This is why I love trauma expert Gabor Mate's wise words, which he shares. He says, exploring the vast caverns within, as Augustine called them, takes a lifetime and a lot of humility.
Yeah, that's a beautiful statement. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so true. I think so much of life in this world, life since the garden, has been living with various masks, and sometimes they project a deep self-knowledge when maybe that's not at all what's going on. And I like that piece at the end there about that this is, it takes a lifetime to continue to do this, and it's something I've really been trying to do, and sometimes I feel like I'm digging deeper into places that I need to go, and other times it feels like I am so far afield of where I need to go in terms of growing to know myself and who I am in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and again, for people who want to go biblical, I mean, Jesus in Matthew 23 lights up the Pharisees with the 7 woes, and well into it, he talks about clean the inside of the cup and dish. I mean, the inner life, right? Your inner world, so...
And I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can encounter in relationship with others, in scripture, even in some personality tools. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things I do for work. But none of it passes or satisfies that deeper need for self-knowledge. It can be a tool, but only a tool.
And I think we need other people. I mean, because I don't know how far you can go by yourself. You need other people you can know and be known by, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm going to share that at least on my personal Facebook page, if not on the Wib Wake Up Show page. How do you say the guy's name? Is it Gabor Mate?
I think it's Mate.
Mate.
Yeah, there's a mark over the E. Those called
Gabor Mate.
Whatever.
So if you went out to coffee with him, you'd say, "Mr. Mate, do you want a latte?"
Right. Exactly.
Okay. maybe we should just.
Humor.
I don't know that we want to jump into. Here's what his full quote is. We'll get to Philippians 1:27 tomorrow. Here's what Gabor Mate in The Myth of Normal. Here's what he said. I've heard a lot of things. I've seen some posts of videos from this guy. How familiar are you with Gabor Mate?
More recently, I actually was going to reach out to Chuck DeGroat and say, where should I start with his work? I mean, he does a lot in the trauma world.
Yeah.
So I would like to get more exposure to him.
Right. I've seen some videos and things from him here's what he said, kind of in closing, and we'll get to a tune here. He says, in this heyday of superficial pop psychology, Self-knowledge is most often a case of the personality being an expert on the subject of itself rather than the deeper, more intimate kind of knowing that can illuminate darkened corners of our histories, the better to see our present predicaments clearly. That sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why it takes a lifetime, right? And I think it takes a lifetime of humility and, as you said, relationship. And I think those are all important as we continue to know and or grow to know ourselves.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, my apologies. We didn't get to the scripture today, and people will probably be... I've probably have people lined up with pitchforks in the parking lot. But anyhow, all right, tomorrow for sure, Philippians 1:27. Thanks, Jason.
You bet.
Well, here's some little things. Again, as we are in the heart of resolution season, here's some little things, some manageable micro habits, we'll call them, things that you could implement that could just make your entire life just a little bit better.
Yeah, for instance, make your bed when you wake up to launch your day with an immediate sense of accomplishment. I've heard that over the years. Great tip.
Yeah, micro habits to implement. How about stretching for 15 to 30 seconds before you get dressed? It's something that as a teenager, especially before sports, it's like, oh yeah, gotta stretch. But you never really took it seriously. Then you get into, say, your 30s and you realize, wow, stretching is actually really important. So I don't pull something just trying to reach up in the cupboard.
Yeah, there you go. How about write for 2 minutes in the morning as you drink your coffee, getting your thoughts down on paper is a proven way to ease your mind. Just kind of empty out.
Again, some micro habits here in the WIB Wake Up Show, things that maybe you could start. How about this one? I love it. Practice gratitude while you're in the shower. As you shower, again, kind of that mindless activity, ask who or what am I grateful for today?
Uh-huh. Hopefully you're grateful for the WIB Wake Up Show and WWIB. Here's another one. Perform a 30-second wall squat while you brush your teeth.
I should do that. Start each workday with 5 long and deep breaths to calm your mind and get ready for the day ahead.
I'm still stuck on the last one. I'm just imagining a family member walking in going, what are you doing?
Yeah, while you're doing a wall squat while you brush your teeth. And technically, aren't you supposed to brush your teeth for closer to 2 minutes?
I know, yeah, right. Just the first 30 seconds
first
to the wall
seconds.
Squat. Here's another one. Track your work victories, whether you use the Notes app on your phone or scribble it down on a piece of paper. Keep tabs of times that you had a good idea in a meeting, submitted work before the deadline, or just performed a task especially well. Here's the thing, especially, Caleb. I'm 58, you're 35. The older you get, that more of that short-term memory, it's true. Everything they said, it becomes worse. So write it down.
There you go. Here's a very practical micro habit. Take a quick look at your bank accounts regularly. Awareness of your finances is key to becoming more financially literate.
Mm-hmm. And finally, always put one thing away before you leave whatever room you're in. That's a great idea.
I know. I want to implement that not just for me, but also for the children, too. But maybe make it more like 5 things.
One of the favorite television shows of my youth. First went on ABC on this day in 1966.
Yes.
Classic.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
What's the word people always use to describe it?
Oh,
campy. They always say it's campy. But it was so fun, and I shared
it with
my kids in their youth. I mean, the kapow and the bang.
Adam West is my hero.
Who was?
Adam West,
oh, yeah.
Along with the original Star Trek as well. Because, again...
The dad bod.
The dad bod. You can
I know.
Wear tights and be in a dad bod. I'm not going to wear the tights, but to be like, hey, I can still be an action hero,
oh, yeah.
Even if I've got a few extra pounds.
I could still enjoy
Thanks,
watching
gentlemen.
That show. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Cesar Romero as the Joker. I mean, it was just really, really good.
It was a golden age of television.
Absolutely. On the air in this day, 1966. Lo, these many years ago. And then actually the way ABC worked it is it would be on the next night. And so there's a lot of these cliffhanger episodes
yeah.
that left you there. So,
well, ways to beat the winter blues. I just saw something that said this coming Monday, let's just prep for it. This coming Monday, January 16th is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year.
Oh,
so we
no.
will do our best. We
yes.
will do our best
well,
to kick things off.
It's
with
a good thing it's on a Make Us Laugh Monday.
Yes, exactly. We have that planned out. But here are ways not to let the winter blues take over your life. And again, we've heard of SAD, right? Seasonal affective disorder. Again, days are shorter. There's not as much sunlight. There's pressures of bills. It's cold outside. There's just a lot going on, especially here in January.
Right. And so we start off with one of the... And again, I can wrestle with it. I love
yeah.
the sun. It just, it perks you up, and so when it's not there, you miss it. Stay social. While socially isolating yourself during the winter is a telltale sign of depression, research consistently shows that social interaction is key to human health. Caleb, thanks for being here today so I can socially interact.
I know,
interact.
So at least we have something.
Yeah.
Turn up the lights. Again, ways to beat the winter blues. Turn up the lights. Light therapy can fight winter depression. It increases the levels of serotonin in the brain. There's some other big words in there that I'm not really sure of, but again... turn up the lights. It's good.
Absolutely. They've got some of these, like, seasonal affective disorder lights, right, that are, like, supposed to pose as the sunshine for you. I'd love one of those. Another one, get that vitamin D. Studies show that in people with D deficiencies, increasing intake during the winter months may help combat winter depression even more effectively than light therapy.
Wow, so even better than the last one.
I would like to use both.
Why not? Ways to beat the winter blues here in the WIB Wake Up Show with Caleb and Havo. Play with color, they say. So surrounding yourself with the right colors can help shake you out of kind of that winter funk. While color therapy is still in the early stages of research, bright colors can actually trigger alertness.
Huh.
Who knew?
And finally this morning, break a sweat. Mm. Move more, feel better. Time and time again, research shows that regular exercise can fight depression. One new study proves that as little as 1 hour per day can prevent depression. Well, it's hard. In a busy work life and stuff, it's really hard to squeeze in an hour. But you always, those endorphins get those released, you know?
It is interesting because I'm not someone who really loves to exercise, but knows, yeah, I need to do it, and kind of a grin and bear it type of thing. But again, with Christmas and again, with Teddy being born and everything that went on, it'd been a long time since I'd worked out. And earlier this week, I just did something pretty simple. Again, just some push-ups, some ab work, things like that. And even though it wasn't fun, I truly felt so much better after. I mean, truly, truly.
You do.
I'm going to soar the next day, but... Well, when we come to resolution season, a lot of times people start thinking about, here's what I want to do before my life is over. Bucket list, right? And there have been movies made about this too, all the things that we want to do.
Uh-huh.
But also, seeing now on BuzzFeed, there's something called an anti-bucket list. And maybe that's some more thrill-seeking type of activities. But where folks say, nah, not interested. So let's go through this list, Calvo, and see how many of these bucket list items for some people would be anti-bucket list items for us.
Let me just ask you up front, though. I mean, I don't have a list of 25 things. Have you?
No.
I'm just trying to get by. I'm trying to eke out a living, you know? Right. So anyhow, first of all, Caleb, do you want to climb Mount Everest?
No, sir.
I'm not leaving.
I will watch a documentary of someone else doing it, but...
A friend of mine, when he turned 60, he did climb, like, Mount Kilimanjaro, so in Tanzania.
I would climb a mountain.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a big, snowy, crazy mountain in Nepal where people die. Just, you know, a beautiful mountain in Colorado or something.
I would sing Ain't No Mountain High Enough. All right, go ahead.
Do you want to take a cruise around the world?
How about just a cruise for starters? I don't know about around the world.
Yeah, I'd go on a cruise.
Yeah.
I don't think my wife would want to go on a cruise, so that's probably not anything that's going to be on our bucket list. Around the world would be interesting.
Yeah.
I would say yes overall for that. Do you want... Oh, go ahead.
You would, I would rather. I mean, I would just go on a cruise, first of all, just a short distance and find out if I want to do the whole world.
Yeah.
Do you want to go cave diving, Caleb?
I have some claustrophobia, so I would say no. I'm sure it's cool.
This picture looks really cool, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one, again, bucket list versus anti-bucket list. Some people say, absolutely, I'm going to do this before I die. Others would say, I'd rather die before doing this. Do you want to get a tattoo?
You know, I have friends who have many tattoos, and so I've never seriously planned on it.
I'd say if you'd asked me in high school, I probably would have said yes. Now at 35, I'm good.
Okay.
Do you want to complete a marathon?
That's my question for you.
Okay. Well, no.
Yeah.
No.
I respect Tom Arnberg's a friend from Chippewa Falls, and he's amazing. I mean, I think he's a little older than me, similar age, and he just keeps, he'll show you his marathoning and his cross-country skiing. I did one half marathon many years ago, and that may be the longest race I run.
Yeah, you can ask me the next one, too, since I stole yours.
Yes, do you want to go on the world's tallest roller coaster?
Not a chance. I don't want to go on any roller coaster. I'm sorry. I tried one before in college, didn't enjoy it. I will do water slides, not roller coasters. No, thank you.
Okay.
How about this one? Do you want to go to a rave, I guess, with, like, the electronic music and the lights and the glowing and stuff?
See, my first question in response to that is, what is a rave?
I guess, I think it can be a lot darker than that as well, too. But I just call it, like, the kind of electronic dance music and glow bracelets.
Do you want to go to space?
No. And here's the thing. Space is cool. And I love Star Wars. And space is cool. But also, I do know somewhat about G-forces and what you have to do as an astronaut to actually get to space.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say hard pass on that.
Very good.
Do you want to get a piercing?
Don't have any plans for it.
So again, bucket list versus anti-bucket list.
You get the idea. You get the idea here on WWIB. Do you want to skydive?
No. Do you want to go bungee jumping?
Not planning on it.
But here's the last one. Maybe we could agree on this one. Do you want to go to Disney World?
I've been there, but I'd go back.
I've never been there. I would like to go. What is it, the most magical place on Earth? Crawling with tourists.
Give it a visit. All right, so you just met somebody, and, you know, you don't want to be insincere, but, hey, nice shoes, night hat. I mean, how do you compliment somebody you just met?
Well, maybe like what you just did. So some advice from networking expert Robbie Samuel suggests that the best way to compliment someone you've just met is to pay them a compliment about any accessories they may be wearing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. In fact, this kind of compliment acknowledges a choice that they made, something that they can control.
Could be a jacket, sunglasses, jewelry, or anything that you consider kind of peripheral gear.
Uh-huh. You could start off on good terms and you avoid being disrespectful or acknowledging something out of their control, like their physical appearance or their name.
So find, again, something if you say, wow, those are whatever, great shoes, like you said, or great earrings, I don't know. Great gold chain that you're wearing as you come in.
It feels riskier, though, in this day and age, you know? You just never know.
That's the thing, too. I mean, so many times it seems like in the modern era, it's like if I'm holding the door open for you, it's
right.
Not saying you're a lesser person than me.
Still seem to. I was just at a big concert event at North the other night, holding door. And then, you know, a lot of times there's a second door and somebody returns the favor. So
Yeah. So what's awkward, though, is when you start holding the door for someone, they're too far away. And so then they start, like, changing their pace into that little, like, awkward half walk, half run.
Yeah.
Because the door is being held open for them. But I don't know. I'm still going to side on basic politeness.
Another thing, though, that's funny with that is just that sometimes there's a large crowd and you can hold the door for quite a while.
Well, a long time.